If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
This is a Geek Leader podcast, and I'm your host, John Rauta. This show is all about helping us grow as leaders, become better technologists, and improve our lives both at work and at home. I hope you enjoy the show and learn a lot. Hello, world. Welcome to episode 202 of Geek Leader podcast. I'm your host, John Rauta, and today's sponsor is Private Internet Access. If you've ever surfed the web and wanted to do it securely, especially when you're traveling or using someone else's network, you definitely need Private Internet Access. Private Internet Access allows you to have a secure VPN without them logging what data you're doing, what transactions you're making, or anything like that, to connect to anywhere in the world. You can also change your default location so it appears as if you're coming from a different place. Why is this helpful, you say, if you're not doing anything nefarious? Well, it's really helpful if you want to test DNS resolution from different places and different time zones. It's a really cool tool, and it's not very expensive at all. You can get plans starting at $3.99 a month, and you can find out more by going to ageekleader.com/VPN. Again, that's ageekleader.com/VPN.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
All right, Geek Leaders, today on the show, I've got Paul Katzoff. He's the CEO at White Canyon Software, and they have a product called WipeDrive, which we're going to be talking a lot about when it comes into, it's really important when it comes to data security and privacy. And Paul's been working in this space for well over 10 years with experience in data security. So with all that being said, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me here on a Geek Leader podcast. Appreciate the chance to talk with you and your audience, and it's a pleasure. Thank you.
So one thing I want to do before we get started is to have you talk a little bit about how you got to where you are today, what this, what your career has been like, and why it's led you to doing what you're doing. But also, I do want to focus heavily on data security, because what if it helps me, I think it's going to help my listeners. And that's kind of the whole point of this podcast is what information can I get to improve me? Because if it benefits me, I assume it's going to benefit others. But with all that, you know, let's just get into how did you get to where you are today?
Great question. So I got my undergrad at BYU Hawaii in hospitality and tourism management. And then I went and got my MBA up at Utah State. And I took a look around and I felt like computers was the future. This is, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but this is 06, 08 time period. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I need to get into computers. I need to, that's where everything's going to go. That's the big focus. So I bought a domain, got a website, started teaching myself PHP, MySQL, HTML back in the day, and got pretty good at it. And because of that, I got a job here at White Canyon Software back in my beginning of 08. So it was just after the big crash, and I was looking for a job. Luckily, they're hiring here in Utah. So I took a role in tech support, working full time, and came on board almost 12 years ago, 13 years ago.
Awesome. So that transition into tech, what kind of gave you the idea that, you know, this is for me once you got started? Because I had several people that said, oh man, I need to get into tech, and they tried it and it wasn't for them.
And
for me, I went through the same thing. I was an entrepreneurship major and, you know, went the same path pretty much, where I got into databases and, you know, that I fell in love with it and went that path.
So I right after I finished my MBA, I had a marketing job with a company out in Sacramento called TRC Varna. Mm-hmm. And the owner there was Tom Martin Sr. And he was like 93 years old. He was one of the original patent holders on the dual prop system on airplanes, just a really smart engineering guy. And he had a quote on his wall that said, "The interests of men run like rivers." Mm-hmm. And if you want to do well, go, you know, focus on where the rivers are and then find your niche in that river. And so I looked around and, you know, 06, 08, the dot-com bubble had burst. The cloud backup wasn't really there. VMware was kind of new. And there's just this kind of, how do computers apply to every industry type of mentality out there? And you could see that's where the focus was going. You could see corporations were saying, hey, what if we introduced, you know, data centers and other things like that? How can we ourselves, even though we're a manufacturing company, how can we become more technology-based or centric? And that was just kind of the focus. And I saw that in Wall Street Journal and other news articles. It just became the focus that the internet was the future. That's where you need to kind of focus and head towards.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I kind of saw the same kind of thing. You guys, you're one of your main products right now is WipeDrive. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and why we may have heard of that before?
Sure. Yeah. So WipeDrive, we've been around for 23 years with WipeDrive. We started off as a little 3.5-inch diskette that the Air Force approved and sent around to all their bases globally. And after that, it kind of moved into the commercial world. So on the private sector, we came out with, you know, WipeDrive was in all the big box stores. If you remember Ultimate Electronics, CompUSA, all of that in the late 2000s. And since then, we've kind of moved into the enterprise realm. So because of all the new data security regulations and data privacy laws, all these large corporations, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 corporations, have all started saying, hey, we need to have a process to ensure that there's no data left on our devices at end of life, and also that we have a certificate that says that all that data is gone. So that's kind of where where WipeDrive has kind of, I guess, blown up the last 5 to 8 years, mm-hmm. is just in that enterprise, large corporation world. And it's been really good for us.
So you kind of made me go down memory lane with a 3.25-inch disc.
Yeah.
The 3.5-inch disc and thinking about that. And, you know, I remember, you know, having those drives where now I'm looking at my Mac now. Yeah. I don't even have a CD drive anymore. That's all.
Yeah. You don't have a CD. I remember the zip disc.
The iOmega 100 meg.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That was a good time. So now it's a USB drive holds, I don't know how many times that information now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that I know when I first got into tech support, what we used to do whenever we wanted to, you know, wipe a drive is we would take the hammer and a chisel to it.
It still happens. Happens 110%. And that's something we're out here trying to change is with the circular economy, with e-waste, with all these areas, the last thing you need to worry about is shredding or destroying your drive. You know, that's the old school method is like, hey, let's make sure there's no data left. I don't trust any software tools out there to erase everything. But at the same time, you know, a lot of these companies and corporations are trusting software for their firewalls or trusting software for different parts of their security infrastructure. And yet there's this old school mentality of, well, shred it. And if you look at the number of drives shredded every year, our estimate, and this is a pretty, it's an educated estimate on our side, is the U.S. government shreds around 120, 130 million drives a year.
Oh, my God.
So if you can think, A, of the e-waste, and sure, they recycle some of the heavy metals and specialty metals from that. But if you look at the e-waste on that, but also the number of devices taken off the market, you know, as far as circular economy goes and reselling devices and secondhand markets, those are all completely just destroyed. And on our side, we feel like that's a big waste, but also it benefits the manufacturers. You know, you're not going to hear Western Digital or Samsung complain that a three-year-old drive is getting shredded, because, you know, that goes right to their bottom line when a new device is purchased. So on our side, we're out here kind of heralding, hey, you can trust Software Erasure. Here's some verification methods. Here's some validations and certifications. This is the new age where you don't need to worry about, not worry about it. You don't need to go to shredding or, you know, drilling through your drives anymore. Here's a better, cleaner approach, and it helps the environment, economy, all sorts of things.
Yeah. I think talking about the environmental impact is huge, because it's one of those things you don't really think about, you know, and I didn't think about it when it came to batteries either, until you start seeing the huge number of batteries that go to waste. And, you know, I see it with, you know, my company with cell phones and things like that, swapping out and cell phones. How do you guys handle cell phones and mobile data and laptops and the importance of taking care of all that?
Right. So on all this, any device you have, there's data storage on it, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we focus on is being able to access that data appropriately and then address it and erase it securely. So that's kind of our forte. We've been doing that for 23 years. We know how to do that on any Android device, any iOS device, any laptop, computer, server, you name it. We can attack that data, erase it, and provide you with a report of it afterwards. And then you can go and get it validated as well. Another big headache that we're coming up against is just the idea of encryption. You know, a lot of people say, hey, I have an iOS phone. My data's on there. I know all my information is, or I have corporate data or corporate logins, emails, things like that. But it's encrypted. At end of life, I'm going to give it to T-Mobile and I'm good. I don't need to worry about it. And one thing we try to address to our customers is that encryption is great. But if you look at encryption from 2010, it's already been broken. It's not so great. So what happens over time is, if that data is still available and it's encrypted and it's on a device, it could be attacked or addressable by, you know, new decryption type of technologies and methodologies. So our warning is saying, hey, remove the risk, remove the data, just clear all your information, get it off there so that you don't have to worry about anything like that happening in the future. And that's been another kind of message we're trying to get out there as well.
Yeah, I think that's one thing people don't think about, is the fact that, you know, technology changes. So if you get one of those old hard drives and you can't get into it now, I could just set it on the shelf and wait 3 years and try again.
Yeah, absolutely. Try new, you know, something more powerful or more, you know, with greater ability, we'll be able to attack that encryption and break it. And you see the reports all the time. Oh, we were able to break this encryption or that encryption from 2008, 2010, 2012. That's typical, and it's going to be ongoing. And so it makes encryption a viable alternative for protection right now. But for the future protection, there's some questions there as whether it's really effective or not.
So when it comes to, you know, securing data, what's the big risk? So let's say I'm a middle manager and, you know, I'm managing endpoint management, and I've got 50 or 500 laptops, whatever, on our company. And we're cycling through them once every, you know, 4 years or 5 years. So about 100 laptops a year that are going away. And, you know, we just reinstall Windows and go take them and donate them at the local Goodwill. Well, I mean, I don't. Yeah. But let's just say we did that. What is the risk that we can have, that we would run into, that I should be concerned about?
The first risk is the data at rest on those devices. You know, you refresh, reset Windows with their tool, you know, inside of Windows. But Windows doesn't really want to take on the liability of your data. You know, they're saying, hey, we're going to reset and refresh it. And maybe they address the hard drive properly and erase it. But on your side, let's say and some data gets out there, okay, from your corporation, and they come back to you and it's HIPAA-related information. So there's private health information that got out, and there's fines attached to this. And they say, okay, this data got out. How did this get out? You know, we found it on, you know, these drives. And as a corporation, you have to say, well, we reset or refreshed those drives. We're all clear. You can't penalize for this event. But you don't have the certifications on your side to say, hey, we have a certificate of destruction for these device, for every device that's left our facility. So the refresh reset is great. Whether it really works and is 100% effective is kind of up in the air. But the main issue is your liability and your ability to prove that all your data has been gone and securely erased on your side prior to it leaving your facility. And that's kind of been the focus we've seen from the Fortune 100, is saying, hey, we don't care if it's leased, we don't care if it's purchased, we don't care if we're going to donate it. Everything's going to be erased on site by our technicians prior to it leaving our facility. And then we don't care. Do what you want with it afterwards. But it, we're going to be headache free on our side.
So it's almost like you're not only securing the device, preventing your data from getting out, but also getting that insurance against something coming back to you.
Yeah, the legal liabilities are there and they're going to continue to grow. You know, we have the California data privacy law is the strictest data privacy law in the nation right now for the US. It does not compare to GDPR, which is the EU, the European Union's data privacy law, but it's the strictest in the nation. Right now, the US Congress is looking at a federal data privacy law, protection law, and that's in committee right now. But what's going to happen there is they have to at least go as strict as the California data privacy law, which is breach notifications, the ability to know what information which companies have about you. There are some nice tenets it has, but it's going to get stricter and stricter, and corporations need to jump ahead of this and say, hey, let's address our data now so that, you know, let's say these federal regulations come out in 2025, but you donated a computer this year or next year, and that data gets attacked or harvested in 2027, you're still going to be liable. This is an issue that you have to address now because the future consequences are there for everyone, for every organization.
Mm, so you're saying that, you know, we can, let's say, for example, I've noticed I keep getting these emails from companies that want to buy your old, you know, equipment and, right, you know, your right. old saying, we want to buy your old networking equipment. You're saying your uh-huh. old phones, whatever. And if we do that and we just sell them to them and move on, hey, we sold them. There's no law against this right now.
Sure.
And then this act that's going through Congress gets passed and now there's some privacy concerns. And then the saying that we sold that has all of our financial data on there or all of our human resources data or whatever, you know, gets somebody picks it up at Goodwill and they go through it and they find the data and they put it out there on the dark web. It gets out there and it comes back to us. We're going to be held liable. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You can't say, well, we got rid of this in 2021. It's not a data breach. It's mm-hmm. a data breach and yeah. it's addressed on what date that a breach became available. So even right now, corporations that have been donating their computers back to 2015, 2010, they should really go back and say, hey, how do we address these old drives or, you know, what's our liability and our, you know, what do we need to do on our side to kind of minimize our risk? Because if data gets out, regardless of when that device left your facility, it's when that data got, I guess, found or published or it became a record that it's a data breach. And that's been happening for years now where HIPAA-related data, you know, the breach happened 2 or 3 years earlier and they found out about it after the HIPAA laws. Well, it's still under HIPAA. It's a current data breach. Regardless of when that data actually left your facility, and you are now penalized and you are legally liable for it.
So what kind of certifications do you guys provide or can you get to show that, you know, you mentioned that, you know, your software gives you certification of the data. What's out there like federally or nationally or internationally that helps ensure that this stuff is securely wiped?
Yeah, great question. So, there's a bunch of different certifications out there. For ourselves, we have Common Criteria EAL 2 Plus, which is a certification for something like 27 countries all share that certification. Mm-hmm. Here in the US, there's no set certification within the US, but there is a standard called the NIST 888 standard. Yep. And that's that you've addressed your drive, your SSDs and your hard drives, platter-based drives to a certain level to erase the data and what commands you use on that device to securely erase all the data on those drives. For the EU, there's NATO compliancy or certification. And in the UK is actually the strictest. They have DISA and NCSC, and those are very good standards. You have to get certified. They go through and test your erasure process. They do a chip-off attack. It's very robust on the UK side. So everyone, most corporations kind of rely on that ADISA NCS certification. If you have that, then we trust that you do work and you do erase all of our information.
So do you guys go through like training or classes in order to make sure you guys are following those properly?
So it's a full, with the NCSC, it's a full certification process where they go through our security methods here, the company, you know, the access to our information, computers, network, physical access as well. They also go and address, you know, the software itself. You know, is there, you know, malicious code in the software? Does it erase all the data? Does it not erase all the data? There's all these kind of qualifications it goes through in order to get that certification. So it takes roughly 9 months to get that certification with their team on their side helping you and a third party contractor as well. So it's a very deep process. But the idea there is, you know, only a few tools out there will actually pass it because of the nature of data erasure. There's a bunch of kind of free tools out there or OS open source tools out there. They typically will not pass that certification because they aren't robust enough. There's major issues in the software that people aren't aware of. And NCSC is great at kind of catching those flaws.
So what is that process like? So I go back, it's been, you know, 20 years since I've been, or more than that, since I've been a desktop support person. And back then, like I said, right, we just took them out and used a hammer and, you know, one at a time. And it's a very inefficient thing to do when you have a company of, let's say, 10,000 or something like that. Well, what's that process like today?
It's much different than before. And you're exactly right. If you're a large corporation with 10,000 computers and you got to process them in 1 year, every year, how do you do that? So we have deployment options that allow you to push that out through Active Directory or PS Exec or other methods. So you can securely erase any device on your network, okay, and save that report back to a central location. We also have a PXE network boot option. And this is very popular with the ITADs and the large corporations. They just set up a warehouse, they put up a workbench, and they just start flowing through 100, 200 laptops at a time or desktops, any device on a workbench. And those all get Pixie booted into the wipe drive OS. We go in, we recognize all the drives attached to that device, we securely erase them, and then we save that certificate of destruction back to the central location. And so it's very effective. We have corporations that are wiping 10,000 drives or computers a month. Just have that in and out type of deployment and setup. And that's something we're really proud of. It kind of differentiates ourselves from all the different tools out there on the market.
So we've talked about this from a company standpoint, but I've got kids that that use computers. What's the important from a personal perspective, you know, like for my home computer, or, you know, let's say my kid is going to get rid of their MacBook Air because they want a gaming Windows PC for their Oculus, yeah, or something like that. What do I need to do? Why should I be concerned about that?
So first off, I think if you go to every household here in the US, they probably have two or three old laptops sitting in the closet, and probably two or three old drives sitting there as well, where they're kind of concerned going, you know, I don't know what videos are on here, if I want those videos. And I also don't know what, and pictures as well and other documents. And I don't know if I want to erase this as well, or I don't want to get rid of this computer until I know all my data is gone. So it's this weird type of scenario where I would guess there's millions of computers that could enter the secondhand market or circular economy, but they're not because we're hesitant about our data, which comes from a very good place. So on our side, you know, our kind of message to the individual user or home user is, hey, you can use wipe drive. It's enterprise grade. It's going to go through and securely erase all the data on your drive. And right now it's on our website. It's free with the home free coupon code. You can get this right now, two wipes for free. And you can go and address those laptops. After those laptops or computers are erased, you can take that device, donate it, give it to a shelter, another location that needs it, sell it on eBay, sell it wherever you like to, but help those devices go back into the economy and help others be able to use those devices that don't have access to a computer. It may be slow, it may be 5-10 years old, but for most use cases, it's powerful enough nowadays to work just fine. So that's kind of our message to the home users. You can trust this tool. You'll get that certificate saying all the data is gone, and then you can let that device leave your home and not have to worry about tax documents or pictures, videos, anything getting out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really recommend that right now, especially with kids doing e-learning and things like that. We had a family that we knew that were doing e-learning off of, you know, their parents' smartphone because that's the only device they had. And, mm-hmm. you know, and how challenging is it when you have a couple of kids and they're sharing a smartphone? to do e-learning, you know, at home with a single mom because they don't have a computer when there's so many of them just wasting away, you know, at their company or at your house. So
There's a big need out there. And we saw that when COVID started and the work, you know, the school from home kind of started throughout the US, all the used laptops disappeared. They all just got purchased because all of a sudden everyone realized, hey, I need to have a computer for my child at home, and they all disappeared, and the market's short right now. And so hopefully this allows more of these devices to get out there and be at a good price point for like you said, single mother families or other, you know, situations where people need a computer.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And you mentioned there was a code. What was that code again?
It is Home Free, HOMEFREE. Just go to our website, click on Wipe Drive Home. We have a couple different Wipe Drive products there. Just go to Wipe Drive Home. When you check out, you put in that code and you get the software for free. You get two wipes per email address. So
awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely link that up in the show notes as well, so people can take advantage of that. Because I'm sure lots of our listeners are probably like me, where, you know, you go through computers relatively quickly because you got to have that next level gaming machine for your son or daughter. So when we talk about privacy and you know, security in general, you mentioned California Privacy Act, and we've had people on before to talk about GDPR when it was coming about, and California privacy. And now there's new stuff going in, and I know your focus is more on the hard drive, but what about the other data, and how are we as individuals in our country maybe impacted if something like this passes nationally? What is the benefits? What are some of the not benefits, or as you see it going through?
I personally, I'm a proponent of GDPR. I think it's addressed data privacy as strongly as we can at this time. California data privacy law is just about breach notification, or you can email, you know, Facebook and say, what data do you have on me? And they have to respond in a certain time period. Those are nice to haves, but I think they're without the penalty associated with data breaches. Companies, large corporations here in the U.S. aren't going to really pay attention to it. You know, you've had Target and a few others that had financial penalties imposed on them because of the nature of the data that got out. It kind of broke FISERV or HIPAA laws. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it should be across the board. If every corporation took care of your data properly, there's less risk for it. And what really comes down to is, what data does each of us have that's unique to us? You know, social security numbers. Nowadays, almost phone numbers are kind of unique as well. Once this information gets out, you have to go and change and update your information to something else, a new social security number, for example, or a new phone number. And all of a sudden, that phone number is attached to all your 2FA or, you know, your two-factor authorizations out there, and now you have to change all of those. There's these huge headaches where corporations who don't manage your data properly and aren't careful with it cause and impose on their clients or consumers. And I think the focus, large corporations aren't going to focus on anything unless there's a financial penalty. And with that, without that, you lose, I feel like you lose the ability to kind of make change and protect people like yourself and me, John, that have our personal information and our kids, you know, our kids' information, who knows what's being gathered on that as well. And as they get older, it's this new world of just being able to manage all this information and data for a large subset of population has gotten relatively easier and easier on the quantum side or on the management side. But it causes issues for individual users. And I think these laws need to address those properly and provide financial penalties so that it is a focus.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I know, I think the California privacy was a good first step, but it leaves out nonprofits and lots of other things that, mm-hmm. it's also confusing because if you are a nonprofit, I was talking to somebody, he's a data, what do you call it? Data privacy officer, whatever. He was talking about GDPR, and there's a lot of confusion and tricks. He said, you know, because people will make a donation and want to remain anonymous, yet financially they have to keep records of that donation for a certain period of time. But if the person asks for them to delete their data, they have to kind of separate that. It gets really complicated.
Yes. And, it's not clear cut at all. And I don't think it'll ever get clear cut. There's always a gray area with everything, but I think there just needs to be more done on that front, you know?
Yeah. And I think having something, a national standard, instead of having, you know, state by state have to operate differently, you know, just makes sense. I don't know why we're so late to the game on this.
Yeah. And I think we'll see large corporations already just using the California data privacy law as their baseline for the rest of the states, because they have to. They don't want to try and do it individually per state. But what it does is, it kind of, right now, it leaves loopholes for you out there in North Carolina, or for me here in Utah and other places, where you don't know really how you're covered or what your rights are. When you look into it, you don't really have that much power to protect yourself and protect your data. And as a personal home user, that's what you're looking for on your side as a citizen, is, you know, my data is vital. It's important to myself. It's important to my family. You got loans, mortgages, credit cards, all this information out there that's vital to yourself. And if it becomes vulnerable and attacked, and you lose that, it negatively affects your life, and it can be very detrimental to people out there. And I don't think the focus is really there to say, hey, let's keep our citizens safe. Regardless of the need of the data or what that data is for, we need to have this level to protect everyone.
Yeah, for sure. And what would you say to the people that, because I've had this conversation with many people at conferences back before COVID and lots of other times.
Sure.
And I'll have people say, well, you know, the cat's already out of the bag. You know, they already have our data. There's nothing, you know, you can do at this point. So why do we even care? What would you say to those people?
Oh, that's a terrible argument. The cat's already out of the bag. Oh, they've already robbed all the banks. We don't need to protect new banks. Sure. You know, what's going to happen is, if we address data properly now to stop breaches going forward, mm-hmm. then we can start working to try and capture back that data that has been lost. And I don't know how we do that, anonymize it. But also, what we're leaving ourselves open is, if you go through the effort of getting a new Social Security card and new information, and then all of a sudden there's another data breach again, and you have to do it over and over again, you know, and that's the headache, is we're not plugging the hole. We're not fixing the problem, and that's what needs to be addressed. And that argument, I get what they're saying, and I understand that a lot of people's information is out there and is going to be out there mm-hmm. for good. But at the same time, that doesn't protect us. You know, the new generation growing up, it doesn't protect others. We need to address it correctly.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those things where it's like a frustration argument.
Well, I think it's an argument to say, you know, let's not worry about it. I think that's the wrong argument. It's actually let's fix it. It's a bigger, that actually points out that there's a big issue and headache here we need to fix.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, how can people find out more about White Canyon Software, WipeDrive, and the things that you're working on?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to our website at whitecanyon.com or wipedrive.com. My name is Paul Katzoff. I'm the CEO here at White Canyon. Like I said, I've been here 12 years, started off in technical support, and I've been CEO for 3+ years. We'd love to work with you, help you figure out how to manage your data, how to manage your erasure process. We've been doing this for 23 years, so we have whatever deployment you need to fit your architecture, and reach out. We're happy to help you.
Awesome. Well, Paul, man, I really enjoyed meeting you and talking to you today. So thanks so much, and have a great rest of the week.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for having me on the Geek Leader podcast, and I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed that episode, please leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. I'd greatly appreciate that. And also, don't forget to check out merch. We have some t-shirts that I've designed that are on at geekleader.com. You can click on the merchandise section there and check that out. And also, don't forget about the books from our guests. So if you like this guest and other guests that have written books, please go ahead and check that out at geekleader.com. I would greatly appreciate it, and I'm sure they would too.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pair.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.